Okay, we're on page 1058. Pasik, Perich of Dalid, Pasik Aleph. 1058. No.
There's a shiur here.
Shh.
It's my, don't make it my business.
Shut up. Okay. Last time we started learning this pasik. The pasik says like this. Ki gach ish isho ba'olam. If a man will marry a woman, take a woman, literally, and he will basically means he marries her, and he lives with her. If she doesn't find favor in his eyes, he doesn't like her. Because he found something of immorality within her. You need to write a book of separation, or basically means divorce, but krisis actually means separation. He has to give it in her hand. He has to send her out of the house. So basically the Torah in one pasuk is saying, if you marry a woman and you don't like her, so you could divorce her. Then the next pasuk is going to say, if she goes and marries somebody else, so the Torah is now talking in one pasuk, basically the concept of marriage and divorce at one time. Now the Gemara learns out, as we started explaining last week, there's two stages in the Jewish marriage. There is what's called Kiddushin, or Edison, and there is Nisuin. It's very important for these psukim to understand what it is. Kedushin or Edison means the man, this is the way it's commonly done today, the man gives the woman a ring in front of two witnesses, says, you are consecrated to me with this ring according to the laws of Moshe and Yisrael, which means that right now they cannot live together because they're not married, but she becomes what's called Mekudeshes, Edison, or Kedushin. She now becomes forbidden for the rest of the world. If they want to break up, they need a get. And as for all practical purposes, she's a married woman, except the husband cannot live with her yet because they didn't get married. Nowadays, we do it all together under the chuppah. We do the Kedushin, Adat Mekudeshesi. We read the Ksuba to break between the first part and the second part, which is Nisuyin. Then you have the Shavah Barachot under the Chuppah and the Yichud, which is actually the wedding part of it. And then the husband and wife are able to live together. Now the Gemara says, the Mishnah says at the beginning of Kedushin, that a man acquires a woman in one of three ways. Either Kesef, money, or equivalent of money. How much money is an argument between Beshamay and Beisilil? But Aloch is a pruta, which is the smallest denomination of money in halacha, which is a pruta. It's questionable, what is a pruta worth today? Years ago it was a penny, today a penny is worthless. But a pruta has to be a decent, not a lot of money, it has to be the smallest denomination of money in Jewish currency. So a man gives it to the woman in front of two witnesses, or shava kesef. It doesn't have to be money, it could be a book. He gives her a book that's worth a pruta, and says to her, Reat Mekudeshesi, with this book, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. So then she becomes Kedushin to him. Becomes a full-fledged Edison. That's one way. Another way is, that we don't do today, is what's called Shtar, a document. Meaning a man writes on a piece of paper, Reat Mekudeshesi B'Shtar Zu, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. You are consecrated to me with this document, according to the law of Moshe V'Yisrael. Gives it to the woman, she becomes Kedushin. The third way, which is also not done today, is actually intimacy, that a man would have be intimate with the girl in front of, not in front of two witnesses, two witnesses saw them going into a room alone and closing the door, and that intimacy is also the way the Torah says you can acquire a woman that she becomes yours. But that's a one-time deal, they cannot be intimate anymore until they get married, because then they're not husband and wife. The Gemara says nowadays you're not allowed to do Biyah as a sort of Kedushin. Today we don't even do Shtar. And the Gemara in Kedushin learns, how do we know all these three things? How do we know a man can acquire and do Kedushin with a woman with Kesef, Shtar, or Biyah? So the Gemara says like this. The Pasuk says, Ki Yikach Ish Isha. if a man will take. The word is yikach. So it says, when Avram Avinu bought the Marsa Machpelah from Evan Achiti, it also says the word kach, take. And here it says ki yikach. So Gemara says there's what's called the Gzeira Shavah. Here it says a certain word, there it says a certain word. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, how you could do Gzeira Shavah. So therefore we learn out, just like Avram Avinu bought Ma'aras HaMachpelah with money, so we learn out that when here it says ki yikach, the word kicha also means money, because by Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the word kicha refers to money. So here it says kicha refers to money. Then the Torah says ki yikach ish isha uva Allah, and he was intimate with her. So from here, the Gemara learns out that proves that the man can acquire the woman through intimacy.
It has to be consensual.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'll get to that in a second. How do we know you could do it with a document? Because in the same pasuk, so it's called hekish. Hekish is when two laws are in the same pasuk, we liken one to the next. Now, in this one pasuk, the Torah says, when if you marry a woman and then you don't like her, so you have to write her a get. So get and kedushin are in the same pasuk. So therefore we liken get to kedushin and kedushin to get. Just like a get, the Torah says, because of law sefer krisus, you have to write a get. You have to give her a document called a get. So the Gemara learns out that a man could acquire a woman in kedushin also through a document. So these are the three cases where how a man acquires the woman in kedushin, either from ki yikach we learn out from Maris HaMachpelah that you could do it with money, or ba'olu you learn you could do it with intimacy, and from the word shtar, from get in this you could do it with a document. Now, biblically, kedushin has to be consensual from both parts. That means if a man comes over to a woman in front of two witnesses, calls two of his friends over and says, I'm going to give this woman money and I'm going to say that Mekadesh will see and she's going to become mine. But she's not agreeing to it. It's worthless. Kedushin has to be consensual from the male and the female. And in fact, this we also learn out, which is another interesting din. When Eliezer came to find the shidduch for Rivka, and he negotiated with the parents, so what did the parents say? Lovin and Besuel, v'nishala, let's call the girl, v'nishala espiha. We'll ask her, do you agree, or don't you agree?
They really did.
Even though she was 3 years old.
They really, really did it. Because
No, the Torah says they did it, but they really didn't do it.
No, I mean, that time, I mean,
the Torah says they did it.
What?
The Torah said, in Parshas Chayisara, the Torah says, here.
They kind of did.
1 minute. Here. Eliezer said to them, let's go. So he said, Vayayimru, they said, Nikra Lanayra, let's call the girl, Vinishala Espia, and we'll ask her. So Rashi says, from the Gemara, from the Medrash, Mikan, you can only marry a girl. First of all, whether Rivka was 3 or not, or Taisus holds she was 13, there's two opinions. Rashi holds she was 3, other people say she was 13. So, and it was before Matan Torah anyway. But the fact is we learn out that Kedushin must be willing on both sides. I know women don't like to hear that, but it doesn't apply today anyway. But when it comes to a get, biblically, a man could divorce a woman against her will. In the times of the Torah, until a rabbi by the name of Reino Gershom, who was a nice, fine Jew, according to, even in the time of the Gemara, if a guy wanted, he was able to write a get, throw it into his wife's house, or give it into her hand, without even knowing what it is, and she was divorced. Nowadays, you're not allowed to do it, it doesn't work, it's not valid, what?
Nowadays you can actually refuse to get, right? The women. You can refuse a get.
So he said, nowadays you can't do it against the will. Okay, but that's a different game. We'll learn as we go on. Okay, so there's an interesting thing. We started discussing it last week. There's a mission at the end of Gittin that says, when is a man allowed to divorce his wife?
I want to know.
So there's three opinions. If you look in the pasuk here that we just read, it says, "V'ha'yem le'sim tzachem beinov." She doesn't find favor in his eyes. Ki matze ba'eves dover. He found something of immorality in her. In other words, sometimes halacha says a husband would have to divorce his wife. In fact, certain times the chachamim forced the husband to give a get to his wife. And we'll soon see what the circumstances are. And even though the get has to be willingly from the husband's perspective, but the din is, Beis Din beats him up until he says, I want to. That's what the Gemara says. Kefen I say, you beat him up until he says, I want to. For instance, if a woman was having affairs with other men willingly and all that, so halachically the husband cannot stay married to her, so then Beis Din would force him to give her a get. I mean, that would be the only... So, Beis Shammai says, because the Torah says, Ki matzah ba'ervas davar, and don't jump the gun until I finish, okay? So, Beis Shammai says that a man is not allowed to divorce his wife only if she was immoral. That is, she was fooling around with other people or not acting like a proper Jewish girl should be acting, then he has a right to divorce. That's what Beis Shammai says. Beis Hillel says, "Afilo gdicha tafshilei." Even if she spoiled his food, she burnt his food, she burnt his dinner, she ruined his food. Beis Hillel says, "You can divorce her for that."
What?
It was almost as bad as the what by the learning.
Almost
as bad. Rabbi Kiva said this word, what's the what for this one? Rabbi Kiva said, even if you found a nicer one.
What?
I've heard this before.
Okay. Can you wait until I'm done? Okay. So the obvious question is, first of all, even before we go into the deeper meaning, the Rebbe has a beautiful explanation of the three opinions. But even before we go into the three, just to understand it simply, what's going on, Beis Shammai is easily understood. The pasuk says, "Eves Dovod." You know, you found immorality in her. Okay. But Rabbi Silo says, but it says, "Eves Dovod." The Torah could have said, "Ki matzah ba'erva." You found in her immorality. It says, "Dovod." That means you could divorce for a different thing. So, and we'll see, the Mefarshim explain like this. First of all, even they all agree that the Torah gives you permission to do it, but you shouldn't be doing it for any of those reasons. Except the first one, the Torah says she was immoral, then you have a halachic obligation to divorce her. But it says, the Mefarshim explain, what does Beis Hillel say? Hegdicha tafshilei, a guy, she burnt his food, so come on, it happens. Right? To the best of cooks. But the Gemara says it doesn't say, the Mefarshim explained, it doesn't say higdicha tafshil, that she spoiled the food. It says she spoiled his food. Which means she went out of her way to ruin his food. That means, tafshiloi means, not the Hillel says, okay, you came home and the steak was burnt, okay, out the door. I mean, that's not, it means she has a pattern of complete disrespect and not caring about it, and not only that, but out to get him. The Gemara tells a very interesting story. Rav, famous Rav, had a wife that wasn't such a good wife. Whatever he asked for, she did the opposite. He asked for fish, she gave him meat. She asked for meat, he gave him fish. He asked for flesh, she gave him milk. Whatever he asked for b'chal, she gave him the opposite. And Rav used to say to his son, whose name was Chia, to go tell the wife that I want this. So after a while, the son realized if my father wants meat, and she's going to give him dairy, but he wants meat, so you know what? I'm going to tell my mother he wants dairy, and she'll give him meat. So that's what he did. If his father wanted meat, so then he would go to his mother, and he would say that Abba, whatever, wants dairy. So then she made him meat. So Rav happened to mention to his son, this is what the Gemara says, Rav happened to mention to his son, you know, she's getting better lately. So Rav Chiya said to his father, well, let me tell you what's really going on. So Rav admonished his son. He told him, do not do that. That's cheating. That's lying. You cannot do that. Another Amir Rav Chiya, not this, Rav's uncle. The son of Rav was Chiya, was the name after Rav's uncle, and also Rav Chiya. He also had not such a nice wife. And yet he bought her presents and he was very, very nice to her. So Rav said to his uncle, how could you be so nice to her? She's such a miserable wife. And he said, is it not enough that she's the mother of my children and she raises the children? Is that not enough to respect her like that? Okay, so you find even in the Gemara, these existences of the cases where the wife was good and not so good, you know, Shlema Melech, one pasuk says Matzah Isha Matzah Tov, and then another pasuk says Matzah Isha is a bad wife is worse than death. The Gemara says it depends what type of wife it is, and so on and so forth. But even Rabbi Silo that says Hegdicha Tavshila means when she's going out of her way to hurt him, so to speak. So then Rabbi Kiva Basilil says, then she's allowed to divorce. Even then, we again, Halacha says you still shouldn't, even for all these cases, you shouldn't. But you're allowed to. And Rabbi Kiva says, even if you found a nicer wife. Now, what's Rabbi Kiva saying? So Mefarshim explained that we'll soon see what it means in serving God. It's a whole different story. But Rabbi Kiva says like this. If the husband's already eyeing another woman, you know what? They tell advice to the woman, get out. Get out while you're still ahead. Because he's not going to be interested in you anymore. So therefore, Rabbi Kiva said, for the benefit of the wife, he says, if that's the case, the husband should divorce, is allowed to divorce the wife, and then the wife could find another husband who's going to like her and marry her. And don't forget, by the way, according to, again, biblical law, rabbinic law, and Torah Rabbeinu Gershom, a man can have many wives. The only one that was limited was a king who was only allowed to have 18. And then it's an argument with concubines, without concubines, how many, with, you know, whatever. But technically, if a man is able to support a lot of wives and give them all their needs, so technically he would be able to have a lot of wives. Okay, so here we're talking about not adding another wife, we're talking about divorcing the wife. But there is a concept in Torah, by the way, unlike other religions, where you cannot divorce the wife. The only thing they can do is annul the marriage. In Yiddishkeit, you can't annul a marriage if the marriage was done according to halacha. That means, we discussed already in a different pasuk, there's, by Kedushin, you must have witnesses. Right? If a guy and a woman go into a room alone, nobody's around. Well, let's preface it. If I lend you $1,000, I agree, you agree, everybody agrees. Right? Halach is, you have to pay me back. The loan's valid. I agree, you agree. No fighting. Everybody agrees. If a man goes over to a woman privately, nobody around, and gives her a ring, and says, "Arei at mekodeshes li b'tabazon kedas Moshe v'Yisrael," the Gemara says, it is worthless. It is worthless. The husband says, I did it. The wife said, I did it. It was done. Right? The Gemara says, it's worthless. Ein cheshish in the Kedushin. You don't have to be afraid. Maybe. It's nothing. The Gemara's halacha is, even if you do it in front of one witness, ein cheshish in the Kedushin. The Torah says, so the question is why? why is it that if I agree and you agree that I lent you the money or I have to do something, or everybody agrees, this, you don't need witnesses? Why by Kedushin, if everybody agrees, is this still no good? So the reason is, the way the Rogachev explains it, and that's where the Rebbe holds, not like the Ksos, but the Rogachev holds that by Kedushin, the witnesses, normally witnesses verify something happened. Right? I don't know if I lent you the money, we don't know. Witnesses come and verify that it took place. By marriage, and get also, by the way, it's not that they verify that it happened. They make it happen. In other words, just like Kedushin, the man has to give the woman something. Yeah? Part of the process is, it has to be done in front of two witnesses. It's what's called ad kium. It's witnesses that make it, it's part of the process. It's not to verify the process. Because then if everybody agrees, you don't need witnesses. The witnesses by marriage, when a guy gives a ring to a woman, therefore, if there, nobody's in the room, it says, yeah? It's worthless because part of the process was missing. Part of the process is the ring must be, or money, whatever, must be given over in the presence of witnesses. If there's no witnesses, it's invalid. Okay? According to Halacha, there is a definition of kosher witnesses. Of kosher witnesses. If a person is not a kosher witness, right? If a person is not a kosher witness, one second. I'm explaining. If a person did not have kosher witnesses there, so then the din is, the Kedushin was not valid, because he had no witnesses. Non-kosher witnesses are not kosher. So for instance, relatives are not kosher witnesses. Nothing personal. Women are not kosher witnesses. People that are non-religious are not kosher witnesses.
Not Shomer Shabbat.
Right. Okay, they're not Shomer Shabbat, they're not kosher witnesses. Now, what happens, and I'm, again, Chabad doesn't classify denominations of Yiddishkeit, it's against Chabad's Shita and the Rebbe's policy and everything, but for the clarification state, if you go, let's say, a conservative or a reform rabbi, is doing a wedding, the witnesses they have many times are brothers, sisters, not Shomer Shabbos people, not whatever, kosher witnesses. So then it comes out that the Kedushin was never valid because there were no two kosher witnesses. What happens when that happens? So then, what happens if later on they get divorced, but they're not religious, so they don't have a get, a kosher get, and then they marry somebody else, and they have kids? Are those kids mamzerim or not? You understand? Or is this woman allowed to remarry without a get? If it was not kosher witnesses. Okay, it's not so simple. You need a rav to paskin. Every case is different. Because I'll give you an example. What happens if this non-religious couple, though, lived in a religious neighborhood and were associated with religious Jews, and two frum Jews knew them as husband and wife and saw them going into their house as husband and wife, then they might be kedushin through bia, through the intimacy with the two witnesses watching them going into the house.
But wait a minute, when you do an Orthodox wedding, don't you say these two people are the witnesses to the exclusion of everybody else who is present?
That's for a different reason.
Okay.
You don't have to say to the exclusion, people do, but I'll be then if you just say Reuven and Shimon are the witnesses, designated witnesses, automatically means exclusion of all. We have discussed in the past the reason why you must designate witnesses at the time of a marriage ceremony, of a chuppah, is because of the following. There's a din Again, all the laws of witnesses are illogical, and therefore a Jewish king cannot be a witness. Moshe and Aaron, like we were discussing Sunday morning again, Moshe and Aaron, very nice, fine Jews, one of the top ten Jews in history, Moses and Aaron, very, very fine fellows. I never met them personally, but I've heard a lot about them. If they would testify on a chuppah, on the Kedushin, it's worthless. Because they're brothers. And brothers cannot be witnesses. Okay? Now, under a chuppah, when you have a chuppah, there's people standing under the chuppah, there's people standing around the chuppah. Around the chuppah you have brothers, parents, maybe non-religious people, whatever. Now there's a din in the laws of witnesses that's called Eidus Shabotla Miksasa Botla Kulo. Testimony, witnesses, that if part of the witnesses are no good, all of them are no good. That means, if you have 100 witnesses testifying on a murder, or whatever, and of the 100, 2 are brothers who are coming to testify, all 100 are invalid. Eidus, Shabotla Miktsasa, if part of it is bottle kula, all of it's bottle. That's talocha. Why? That's what God wants. Okay? So let's say under the chuppah, you're calling up 2 witnesses to testify on the ring giving. But meanwhile, everybody else is also watching it. And in their minds, they might have the mind of witnessing it, witnessing this great event. Yeah? But meanwhile, they're brothers, they're relatives. It's going to invalidate all the guys. So when you designate witnesses, you say Mr. A and Mr. B, by designating them, you're automatically saying only these 2 can testify as witnesses, and everybody else is not testifying. So therefore you have the 2 kosher witnesses to watch it. But if you have, let's say, a non-kosher wedding, I don't mean the food, I mean the chuppah is not with 2 kosher witnesses, so then technically they're not married according to the chatchila, they need to get a get and everything else. The chatchila they would. But after the fact, so it's not that they annul the wedding. The wedding never happened. The Kedushin part that forbids the woman for everybody else never happened. But in Yiddishkeit, you can't, rarely can you annul a kosher wedding that took place. Unless if one of them was completely fooled. There was a mistake in the deal. Mekortois, who was the guy, and even then they don't annul it.
Misrepresentation.
Yeah, let's say she said she was 100% healthy, and then you find out she's dying. You know what I mean? She's very, very sick. So then, even then they don't annul it, they'll give a get. You know what I mean? But you can't annul, it's not like the Catholics, because you can't get a divorce, as we know in the famous monarch, yeah. English monarchy. They annul the original marriage. How to do that? I don't know. But they annul it, because then you can't get divorced, so whatever it is.
You just kill
her. Yeah, that's what they did. They killed her instead.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. Now let's discuss this thing a little bit. The 3 opinions about why a husband could divorce his wife. So the Rebbe explains like this in a sikh, in Avedas Hashem, in serving God. What does this mean? It's unbelievable what the Rebbe explains. First of all, God is the male and the Jews are the bride, right? God is the Chosen, the Jews are the Kala. So all of this stuff about God marrying us and God divorcing us is all relevant in that aspect of it too. Now, there's another concept. It says in Kabbalah that the neshama in the body is also a shidduch. It's also a shidduch between soul and body. The soul is the male, and the body is the kala. This is what it says in the Zohar. The neshama is the chatan, the body is the kala. Now, what happens? The neshama is given a mission in life. Neshama is given a mission in life to accomplish. The neshama comes down into a body. The neshama, together with this body, has a particular mission in the world to accomplish. But the guy says, you know what? I don't like this mission. I want to change my mission. The original mission that God gave me. So, the question is, when can you divorce the mission that God gave you with the body? When can you divorce it? So Beis Shammai says, the only way you can change, because God gave you this mission, the only way you can change your mission in life, if your mission becomes immorality, meaning it goes against Torah law. If the mission that you are doing now in life ends up, for whatever reason it is, to be against Torah, then Beis Shammai says you can divorce and get a new mission in life.
How is that even possible if the mission if your mission
is... One second. Let's first finish the three opinions. Beis Hillel says, even if you ruin the food, meaning, I just don't feel successful in what I'm doing. I just feel I'm not accomplishing what I should be accomplishing. The food is being spoiled. So, Beis Hillel says, you know, then you're allowed to change your mission. Rabbi Akiva says, you could, even if you find a better mission, nothing's wrong with your mission. Your wife's wonderful. Your mission is wonderful. You found a better mission, you could go change your mission in life. The interesting thing is, Shulchan Aruch rules, what's the halacha? Like Beis Hillel, not like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like Beis Hillel, that the only time a man could divorce his wife, if she ruined his food. Meaning, but nevertheless, the Rebbe explains like this. By the way, it's a Sichan Chelik Dalit, but he brings it down over here in the Gutnik Chumash, and these psukim of it, it's being done very well. But the halacha is, the Gemara says like this, whoever divorces his first wife, the Mizbeach sheds tears. Mizbeach made it all of the mois. It actually cries. Which means, even though Beis Hillel says, if you're uptight with your present mission, you just don't like it anymore, it's not good, you want to get something better, you know, you could do it, but the Torah says you still shouldn't do it. Because God gave you a mission, face the challenges, unburn the food, make the food good, you know, eat it and use it, and so on. They tell interesting stories. There are many, the story told about a lot of tzaddikim. One day there was a whole table full of guests. And they served the challant. So when it came to this rabbi, he took a little bit of cholent, and then he ended up eating the entire cholent bowl himself. There's nothing left for anybody else. Can you imagine? So everybody said, what type of, pardon the expression, pig is this? You know, it looks like a shul by the kiddush. They just fess it all up. What the story really was, they put the wrong food into the cholent. It was not edible. It wasn't edible. And if everybody would have eaten it, the cook would have become embarrassed. They put their kerosene instead of olive oil. I mean, it was like, they really messed it up bad. So this rabbi was willing to be called a pig, pardon the expression, that the other person should... So that, you know, it's like, Aloha says, work it out. Even if... In fact, it's interesting, when the Rebbe's father, who was the Rav in the big city in Ukraine, then it was Russia, but now it's Ukraine. The day he wrote a get, he fasted. He said, why are you fasting the day you write a get? He said, what do you think? It's so easy to break up the name of God? Because it says in Kabbalah, Yud, Hey, and Vav, and Hey, his husband and wife is Yudke, and son and daughter is Vavke. So he says that, so the Gemara says you don't just give a get, it's, you know. But these three opinions of when a person would be allowed to divorce, so to speak, is dependent on the relationship in the neshama and the body, the husband and wife, you know, when you can create a new purpose of the body, you create a new mission in life, and all these things are the three things, which, you know, which allows then the person to do. But even then, the Rebbe writes, the halacha is you shouldn't do it. God gives you a mission, overcome the challenges, and do what you need to do.
It's a tikkun.
Huh?
It's a tikkun.
Yeah, whatever.
Well,
you should know there are many, even in Chabad, even, I don't want to mention names, but there are very, very proficient, great pulpit rabbis that they used to have very, very big shuls. 1,000 people, you know. And then the neighborhood changed, as it happens in the Jewish world. And he was barely left with a minion. And this is a powerful, dynamic, not a lot of them like that. I mean, one comes to mind, but I know a lot of guys like that. And they asked it up if they can find a different
territory.
A different shul. You know, people would hire him in a second. And the Rebbe didn't let. The Rebbe said, your mission is where you are. Don't divorce it. You know, don't divorce the mission. For whatever reason is, that's where you're supposed to be. And the Rebbe didn't let him move. There were a number of rabbis, one in LA, in fact, I'm not mentioning names. It was a different country. He was offered a very prestigious position here in LA. And the Rebbe told him not to do it. The Rebbe said, you can't abandon your community. The guy didn't listen, did it anyway. There's another very big Rav in Eretz Yisrael. He was in England. And he was offered a very, very special big position in Eretz Yisrael. The head of Eidach Redis. But that means he would be given up his post in Manchester, where he was a big Rav. And the Rebbe, no, he was not Chabad. But he asked a lot of different Rebbes. But he shouldn't have told him not to leave. He should stay where he is. He didn't listen to Pearl. And he took the new position. But the Rebbe's position, Bechal, was don't divorce the mission, so to speak. What we're saying here. Don't divorce the mission. This is your place. This is where God led you to be. This is where you need to stay.
And this is where you're staying here?
Yeah. Only for that.
God, boy.
I have a different problem. Nobody wants me. They got no choice.
Rabbi?
What?
So, isn't there a thing where if there's no children, you can or you should, or whatever?
No, it's nothing to do with it. No.
So if you don't have children, you have to stay?
Not because you have to stay. I'm saying in India, a person shouldn't divorce his wife, unless, again, but Torah does allow divorce. Torah does allow divorce. But, you know, you need to make sure it's for a good reason, a good purpose. And that's
in Iran, that was the only situation where the man would have a chance to marry.
Yeah, but in Iran, they were able to marry a second wife.
No, only for this purpose. The only ones we knew was if she could not bear children, then he would get another wife.
Oh, but even that, by the way, in olden times, there was a din. If somebody was married for 1 or 10 years and didn't have any children, so they were divorced. But Shulchan Aruch says that's not done today. In today's world, we don't do it.
People had two wives and they both had children.
No, no, no. But
not in Iran.
No. I'm saying they.
North Africa.
No, I'm saying, but listen to what I'm saying, though.
Shiraz.
That even today, they don't divorce the wife. Even if there's no children, they still don't divorce the wife. Okay, to be continued, Mr. Shem, next week.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, some Jews.